Last month, Interior Department Secretary Deb Haaland announced the creation of the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative. It's an effort to investigate the historical records of hundreds of boarding schools for Native American children and learn about incidents of abuse and unreported deaths that took place at the government-managed institutions over the last two centuries. It comes alongside a burgeoning repatriation movement as the remains of potentially thousands of unnamed Indigenous children are being discovered at boarding schools here and in Canada. In the early 1800s, the government authorized officials to remove Indigenous children from their families and tribes to be, quote, civilized, assimilated into American culture by stripping them of their tribal identities. The Phoenix Indian School was one of these institutions. It opened in 1891. Efforts there to assimilate students were curtailed in the 1920s. The school continued to operate until 1990, when it was closed due to reduced enrollment. Patty Talahongva is a member of the Hopi tribe and the executive producer of Indian Country Today's daily news broadcast here in Phoenix. And she attended the Phoenix Indian School in the late 1970s. I spoke with her more about her own experience there and the legacy of these troubled institutions.
The American government-run boarding school started in the late 1800s, and it was an idea that came about from Henry Pratt, who was an officer in the Army. And so his job truly was just to go out and rid the land of Indians, and it truly was cheaper to educate the Indians and assimilate them than to try to go off and kill them. Hmm. So that idea of divide and conquer, taking the kids away from their, not just their parents, but their tribal group, you know, their clans, their villages, and bringing them to these boarding schools and basically raising them in this giant dormitory and military setting. That's his legacy, Henry Pratt. And that starts the legacy of historical trauma for Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So in those early years, those kids were physically, forcibly taken from their families, kidnapped, if you will. Mm-hmm. There are stories among my people, the Hopi people, where the parents would tell the kids run and hide in the rocks along the mesa side. So the kids would go and hide, and they wouldn't come out until the parents came to get them.
Wow.
And because they could see the agents coming in, they knew they were going to get their kids taken away. So they did their best to hide them. There are other accounts of parents crying, you know, when their children were taken away, and, you know, the mother running back in the house and giving their child a shawl, you know, their best shawl. Here, you know, take this with you to boarding school and, you know, have it remind you of your family that loves you, that's embracing you. But what happened when these little kids got to the boarding school in those early days, all of their clothing was removed and burned because the white people who ran the boarding schools, you know, if you're trying to assimilate someone, you're not going to let them stay in their own clothing, even in their own haircuts, their hairstyles. You know, they're changing everything, language, religion. And so those kids never saw their traditional clothing again.
So, Patty, you attended one of these schools back in the 70s, right? Tell us about your own experience there and here at the Phoenix Indian School.
I had to attend the Phoenix Indian School because at that time my tribe did not have a junior high or a senior high school. And so I was sent off to Phoenix Indian along with my younger sister who was in junior high. It was very different in the late 70s. Everyone spoke their language. It was wonderful to hear all of these different tribal languages, you know, being spoken around me. We had things like the Powwow Club and the Hopi Club. And so there was absolute acknowledgement and also celebration of traditional cultures. We even had the Miss Phoenix Indian High School pageant. So it was a very different school when I attended. We didn't have military uniforms, but we did have remnants of the military still embedded in the culture of the school. We had detail, and that's basically your chore. And we also got demerits if we did something wrong. And you had to work off those demerits by doing extra detail. The other thing that we had that was, again, a remnant of the military was having to make our beds just precisely with nice cut corners, everything tucked in. And we had dorm inspection, room inspection. And just like the military, you had to line up and stand there and the dorm matron would come in and check your dorm and you know, dock you if you didn't have a nice, tidy, clean dorm, and then you had to work off those demerits as well. So the remnants of the military lifestyle was still there, and it's just, it just makes me so angry when I think about little kids having to be subjected to that kind of treatment. And you consider little kids back in the 1800s, you're out there playing on the playground or you're doing something outside and you fall down and you get hurt. There was no one there to pick you up and to hold you and to brush off your knee and calm you and say, it's okay, you're going to be okay. And they didn't have any of that nurturing. Maybe the first 5 or 10 years, it was that brutal taking away of the children by force, kidnapping them and sending them off to these boarding schools. And then it became normalized. So as people went moved back to the reservation, maybe some people managed to evade the whole taking away from, to boarding school, and they grew up on the reservation. Well, they get married, they have children, and then it becomes normal to just have your kids go off to boarding schools.
Right. So let me
So
ask you then, Patty, about this most recent move by Interior Department Secretary Deb Haaland, creating, a federal initiative to investigate the records and what's gone on in these boarding schools throughout the history of this country. Is this hopeful to you? Is this a moment of potential healing or change?
absolutely. We've been waiting a long time for any kind of notice to be taken about what happened to our people. So yes, the investigation that Secretary Haaland has announced is welcome news. And yet we, as Indian country, people from Indian country, we know about it because we've lived it. And this news is shocking so many Americans. And we're saying this is why you need to know our history, because our history is American history. This is what the government can do to you and has done to our people. So it is welcome. A year of investigation is just going to scratch the surface. There are a number of boarding schools across the country. Four of them are still in operation today. And so looking at each boarding school and then seeing what may still remain there from the former boarding school. So Carlisle, we know, has a graveyard there, and they are in the process of repatriating the remains back to different tribes. The Phoenix Indian School was open for 99 years, and there's not a marked gravesite there. Yet, when I went to school there, people went to school there before me. We know students died at that school. There are some records where the students were buried at local cemeteries, but not all of them. So how are they going to investigate the grounds of the Phoenix Indian School?
So it sounds like there's lots more to be done than just this in your mind.
Yes, I think this is the start of the investigation. This could be the start of a formal apology by the U.S. government. People are so afraid of any kind of apology. In Canada, they did formally apologize to the First Nations people there about their boarding school policy. Just that acknowledgement and understanding, and then the teaching of this history. Because today we look at the health disparities of American Indians, and that has its roots in boarding school. So where are we today as a people? I go back to that strength and integrity of those little kids who, even though they were beaten and punished for speaking their traditional languages, they took that underground and they continued to speak. Enough of them did that so that today we can still speak our languages, many of us. And I point to World War II and how those same tribes who were told English only were then asked to create codes in their languages to help the American military. And they were able to do that. So you look at just this, it's just a crazy history, and it needs to be told. It needs to be taught. And we don't have anything like that on a national scale when it comes to public education.
All right. That is Indian Country Today's Patty Talahongva joining us to talk more about the legacy of the Phoenix Indian School. Patty, thank you so much for coming on the show and for your experience in this.
Thank you for having me, Lauren.